nice to see you all on Zoom. Well, this morning I just want to spend a few moments thinking about our concerns, our worries and our anxieties. And these are all things that we commonly get, some rather more serious than others. And I guess how we react to them is probably whether we think that we're a person who's a cup is half full or a cup is half empty. We'll get worries, don't we? In general terms, we worry about our world. What's happening? The terrible earthquakes, the terrible things that go on, the wars, etc. We worry about our bills at home, where they're going to end, our health. And we worry about our children, however old they are. And ironically, when they get to a certain age, they start worrying about us. When we start to think about the root cause of worry or anxiety, it's nearly always based on uncertainty. Things which are out of our control. Uncertainty brings worry, and worry brings anxiety. For instance, we could have worry and concern about the ecclesia. Will our ecclesias exist in 5, 10, 15 years? The community's challenge is an unprecedented problem with the laws surrounding certain sexual matters. If those people walk through the doors, how are we to deal with them? How are we to deal with them indeed? Of course, we live in an age of uncertainty, and the Lord Jesus prophesied just this very thing. Luke 21 and verse 26 says this. People will be fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. A world where nothing is certain. I remember when we started work many years ago, you almost had a job for life. And you stayed in that one career. Nowadays, young people just keep swapping and changing. Nothing is certain, not even employment. But here, the Lord emphasizes the fact that the problems of the world will be so great that there's a huge worry with people in general, people fainting with fear and foreboding what is coming into the world. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure that we are in this age now. But for us, the message is, well, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, straighten your bodies and look up and be enthusiastic, because this is telling us that our redemption draws near. So let's start perhaps thinking about these things, about worry and anxiety, reminding ourselves of some of the basic things. We're going to start in Psalm 139. Now this is a wonderful Psalm of David. It tells us of God's knowledge of every single one of us in detail through the words of David. Psalm 139. Just read a few verses from this psalm. Verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. And when we start to think about those words, God knows where we are, what we are doing, what we're saying, what we're thinking. So the knowledge of God into our particular lives as individuals is very, very deep indeed. And the psalmist goes on to say in verse 7, well, where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And there is nowhere, brothers and sisters. Nowhere. Verse 9, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, the lines of Jonah, he ran away from the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't let him go. And eventually the hand of the Lord guided him to the city of Nineveh. But he's a fantastic God, brothers and sisters. One who has followed us all round all our lives. We've all been on this journey. We've all come out from the far side of the sea, wherever that may be, whether it's physical or literal. But the Lord has guided us and brought us to this place at this time. Never ceases to make me wonder that when I'm sitting in a meeting, well, why am I here? What brings me to this place? And it's strange that God has brought us to this place. God has brought us to this particular family. And whether our journey has been comfortable or very difficult or very hard, then we're still here. And at the very end of the psalm, verse 23, he says this, and this should really be our thought before the breaking of bread. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the ways everlasting. This, brothers and sisters, is the all-knowing, all-caring God, who knows us better than ourselves. And we ask him daily to search our minds and our hearts to make sure the intent of what we intend to do is right before him. If it isn't, put it to one side. Take away our pains, our worries and our concerns and lead us in the ways of eternity. And however difficult life becomes, and whatever we're going through at this moment in time, we need to remember that we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And sometimes that's very, very hard to accept, especially perhaps when in the struggles and bereavement hits us. But that's what God is telling us, brothers and sisters. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so this brings another dimension. It brings a dimension that all our lives, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we're having to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the worries, the trials, anxieties, all the blessings and the joys of life are working towards each of us, striving to conform to the image of the man who remembered this morning. And of course we will have difficulties, we've all had difficulties, but we have to appreciate what those difficulties are. James says this, and it's always a very difficult verse, not to read, but to actually appreciate. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, when we have bad news about various things, I'm not sure that we jump up for joy. But here we are. The trials of our life are brought to us because the Lord is testing our faith. And the Lord is producing in us conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Circumstances are brought into our lives, some good and some bad. And we're faced with those situations, and the Lord is looking at us and saying, well, you're a brother and sister in Christ, how are you going to deal with this situation? There is, of course, another aspect of our faith. It's a concern to do with our faith. We have occasions when we have a loss of faith, that we battle with the lifestyle that God has called us to through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when we're fighting off some modern concepts of what the truth should be. And perhaps when you get to a certain age, you start looking back more than you start looking forward. And perhaps in looking back, we sometimes have those personal concerns. And even though we look forward to the Lord's coming quite eagerly, brothers and sisters, we perhaps have a little premonition, are we ready? What about all those missed opportunities? What about all those regrets of doing something or not doing something? And concerns of past actions? And I suppose as I've got older, the one thing that I've learned in particular, in the final analysis, It's our absolute dependence upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have thought that we've done this and that and the other, but that doesn't count as the existence. What counts is we acknowledge our sin before the Lord, and we can seek that forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul helps us in this case in two places, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, and then back into Romans. And the Apostle Paul says this, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." He's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." See, brothers, there's no point in looking back, is there? No point in worrying about what's gone on in the past. What's gone is gone. What's done is done. And if we feel that we so evil our background and what we've done in the past, then we need to seek forgiveness now. But we cannot change it. And remember, the Apostle Paul thought he was the chief of sinners when he persecuted that first century church. But it's true that frustration can overcome us so that we want to give up. I had a cousin that wouldn't accept baptism because, oh, I can never live up to that. And the point is, friends, is that none of us can live up to it. That's the whole point, that we acknowledge our ways before the Lord. Age and experience bring the reality that we have about ourselves, that we of ourselves cannot attain salvation. It has got to be done in the mercy of God and His love, which is in Jesus Christ. And there is almost an impossible situation, which the Apostle Paul looks at in Romans chapter 7, when he starts, and you know the passage well, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would." Amazing. Even the Apostle Paul, with all his power and faithfulness, we look up to him, don't we, in that sense. A man that could go right through Asia and preach the gospel, and yet he could never get rid of that evil in himself. You become, I think, more conscious as you get older. You know, when I was first baptised, I looked at our older brethren and I thought, well, it's all right for you, you've got no problems. Your pastor was finished, you know, you weren't worried about anything. You must have achieved that satisfaction life in Christ. And now I am that old brother. It's a very different thing. Because the temptation of evil never leaves us, does it, Francis? It's always in the background of our mind. It's in our nature. And Paul's conclusion was, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." We have to face the fact that we are constantly at war with ourselves. And that war, that anxiety can breed frustration and almost a sense of giving up. But that isn't the point. That frustration brings us closer to the realisation of the greatness of the mercy and love of God toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of quotations from our readings, Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. And here the Apostle, and remember that the Apostle is writing this from prison in Rome, the end of his life. And it says in verse 6, "Don't be anxious about anything." Don't be anxious about anything, for instance. Frustration, illness, health, circumstances. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by a prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That whatever our circumstance, whatever difficulties, if we can only reach God through that prayer and offload all those problems to Him, He'll sort them out. I once heard a sister tell me that she had a problem. I forget what the problem was, but it was a really big problem, and she couldn't bring herself to pray to me at all. eventually the problem resolved itself. And she was speaking to the brother in the meeting. And she said, I don't know how it got resolved because I couldn't pray to God about this problem. And the brother said, well, I know you couldn't, but we did. We prayed for you. And I think perhaps that's one of the great powers that we have, to reach God, the creator and sustainer of all life, through prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can do that, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. It will keep you in Christ. If we can just do that, if we can just say those prayers, brothers and sisters, if we can put that anxiety to one side and bring everything before the Lord God Almighty through the Lord Jesus, then that peace of God will transcend upon us. And verse 7 tells us clearly we can't read about it. We can't learn about it. We can't just understand it. That is all understanding, because it's God given to us who are struggling to live in Christ. And yet prayer needn't be the formality that sometimes we make. There are obviously prayers that we need to say, but can be a natural one. Because we walk around, brothers and sisters, with the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives. And if we can just sense that presence in those circumstances, wherever we are, then when we come across a difficulty or problem, we can just quietly say, well, what do I do? Whether we get the answer is another matter, right there and then. We might open our readings at the night and find the answer there. We find it all in all sorts of places. But it's necessary that we come to terms with our wishes to put one side and to submit ourselves to the will of the Lord on the other. We continue in Philippians 1 verse 8, and we read these things which Ivan read to us. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, is noble, right, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If we do that, brothers and sisters, what does it say? And the God of peace will be with you. Wonderful. The strange thing here is that the word think, this is in our Bibles, means to take an adventure. That's a strange thing, isn't it?
Think.
I mean, we take adventures about all sorts of things. If we're selling a house, we have to list all the things that we're leaving, what we expect in the next property. Taking adventures is difficult. But here, the apostle is telling not just think, take an inventory of all these things and make a note of them and spend time on whatever's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable or excellent or praiseworthy. Make a note of them, brothers and sisters, and spend time with them. And if we can just do this, the God of peace will be with us. Of course, the Lord Jesus talks about not being anxious, about the daily provisions that he will provide for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will put on. Because you're very precious to the Lord. He won't see you starving. He won't see you without food. Somehow, the Lord will get these things to you. He goes on to say a little later in the chapter, but first be concerned about God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you as well. That's a promise, brothers and sisters. We have to believe it, and we have to live it. And it's interesting, at the end of that chapter, verse 34, so never worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Interesting. See what the Lord is saying to us. Take each day as it comes. You know, I understand that if you have addiction to alcohol, cigarettes, whatever it is, the way to overcome it is not to think of what you're going to do in 4 months, but to just take each day and overcome that addiction in that day, because that's trouble enough. And if we think of sin like that, we're all addicted to sin. And therefore, we must be aware on that particular day, one day, not thinking about this or that in the future, just one day, to make sure that we strive more earnestly to walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come to towards the end of our remarks now. I just want to go to the incident of Peter and the storm and getting out of the boat. We've read it recently, haven't we, in our reading with Mark. Matthew talks about immediately Jesus made the disciples to get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And that word made is compelled. Jesus had to teach the disciples something, and he compelled them, look, you've got to get in that boat, go. And what did the argument is, they had to go by this distance because the Lord had to teach them something. And what he was teaching them is their lack of understanding about the loaves, the feeding of the 5,000, which had happened just before this preaching and getting them voted across into the other side. The Lord knew that they hadn't understood about the power of him. For some reason, although they had collected these 12 baskets, and it may be that they represented those 12 disciples who would go and preach the gospel ultimately and talk about the broken body of the Lord to others. But they hadn't picked it up. They hadn't understood it. And so he sent them in his boat. And he went eventually to the mountain to pray. Now we don't know the timing of this, but we do know that in the final watch of the night, which is between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, before it was light, the Lord looked upon the disciples. Now remember, they were in the middle of the lake. He was up the mountain. There was a storm. There was wind. The sea was lashing. There was lots of foam and stuff that gets about. How did he see them? How did he know that they were in trouble? They'd only reached halfway, according to the Gospel of Mark. And they weren't going anywhere. They were rowing and standing still. When we start to think about that in our life, brothers and sisters, we are sometimes standing still, not getting anywhere, not perhaps fully comprehending or understanding the power which God gave to Lord Jesus Christ, and the power that can be ours, brothers and sisters, in helping us and sort of seeking the forgiveness that we have in the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord went to look. We know the story, don't we? Peter, the impetuous Peter, oh, what about you, Lord? Is it you? Well, it isn't. I want to get out. I want to walk up with you. Peter just did that. He got out of the boat. Now, we might criticise Peter for lots of things, but it's just, but, you know, I don't think I'd get out of the boat. You know, there was a high swell. Never mind 3 or 4 feet, it could have been even higher. And in a little boat, he's going to get out into that storm. Well, he had the faith to do it. And the Lord said, well, come on, if you want to come. What happened? Of course, as once he's outside the boat, he understood that he stepped into a huge storm. Worry about Jesus, he was worried about himself. Because he started to sink and started to burn. What did the Lord do? He just held his hand out and took him. And they both got into the boat. It's a wonderful, powerful story. They had to understand, and they did understand, because they're in absolute awe and wonder of the power that when Jesus got into the boat, the storm stopped. And this man had power over the very elements, and perhaps that helped them to understand a little about the power of feeding the 5,000. And at the end, the conclusion was, truly, you are the Son of God. And we can learn lots of lessons from that story, brothers and sisters. For instance, we can learn the lesson that Peter stopped looking at Jesus and started to look at the storm. Lesson 7. We can be so obsessed with our own difficulties, our own problems, whatever they may be, that we forget that the Lord's by our side. And just by a simple ask, the Lord will be with us to hold our hand and put us into some peaceful surroundings. The Hebrews says, of course, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily besets us or entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus. That's what our life's about. We are trying to conform to his image. We don't look at him. We don't understand him. We'll never see him. We'll never conform to him. Taking a little aspect each day, we can strive to conform to the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk on our own particular journeys. And so once more, we come to remember Jesus in the last of us. Remember that through him we have access to God himself. It is Jesus who will gladly carry our burdens and calm our anxieties. It is Jesus who will take our hand if we feel ourselves that we're drowning in the difficulties of this life. And so once more, as we come to the breaking of bread, brothers and sisters, let's just remind ourselves of those last verses in Psalm 130. Where we ask, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Father Andrew, for those words to us. Yes, of course, it's very nice to speak, breaking of bread. I'm reminded of the words in Matthew's Gospel. During supper, Jesus took bread, having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples with the words, "Take this and eat, this is my body." And he took a cup and, having offered thanks to God, he gave it to them with the words, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, never again shall I drink from the fruit of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of my Father." I give thanks for the bread, and perhaps our brother dear Bushkill give thanks for the wine. Heavenly Father, come before thee now to take this bread. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ and the things he has done. And indeed, remember the words of our speaker, who has just talked about all the things that we do in our lives and the anxious things that we have and our reliance on you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So please be with us now as we think of all these things and we take this bread once more. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Help us, guide us, and be with us as we take this bread. We ask all these things in through Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'll ask our brother there, please, to give thanks for the wine.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to your throne of grace. We thank you for all that you have done for us, Heavenly Father. Thank you that we've been able to listen to our brother before we break bread and drink wine. We think of the upper room. We think of our master's time of trouble that would come. We think of our master's desire. We desire, I want to lead this pastor before I suffer. And so we partake of this cup now, the conscience of which reminds us of our master's poured out blood. We obey that command. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us in our lives to bear with that fear of foreboding. Help us to hold fast in our lives as we think of the upper room and the light that was there in Christ Jesus. Help us to stand fast in the Lord. Help us to stand fast in faith, to stand fast in liberty, to stand fast in the one Spirit. And help us to hold fast, Heavenly Father. Please hold fast our faith, our confidence in the hope, our profession, to hold fast the foremost sound words and to hold fast to that which is good. With Christ in the vessel, we smile at the storm. So help us, Heavenly Father, in our lives, whatever our age and position, our anxieties, our illnesses and our problems. Help us now to partake of this cup and remember that all this has been done for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace to Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Now let's just take the wine. Now let us sing hymn number 227. Bread of the world in mercy broken, wine of the soul in mercy shed. Next week, the speaker is Brother Nick Cox of Huddersfield, the president of Spark. Mama, past Wednesday at 7:30 by Zoom, as you there's a Tiddy side study there on the 4th of March in Middle Hall. He is the 10th commandment. Starts with coffee at 10:30. First study at 11. There, it's already been announced, and there are two performances of the Messiah by the Birmingham Dissident and Choral Society of Warwick School, 22nd and 29th of April. And full details of the arrangements have been circulated by email. I think that's all we've got for this week. I know I like to know how bowling is getting on, so I hope at some point she's about to work again. Perhaps Mark can come up to us on our last day. We could ask you to give us the final word of prayer. That's what I think. So let us make this passing.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. No man can come to the Father but by me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. No man can come to the Father but by me. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It is, Father, that we can meet in this way, although not many of us in the physical aspect, but we rejoice because we can share together fellowship, share particularly the words of our brother, which have helped us no end in our dealing with the anxieties of life. We you realize, Father, that if we have faith and trust in you, you will provide. And you will provide if only we ask. How many times we fail to ask. How many times we do not rely upon you. Suffer the consequences. So as our brother has reminded, help us to put our trust fully in you. At all times of the night and day, to rely on you, your word, and the power of prayer. We thank you, Father, that we have remembered our Lord. When we think of his life, we realize how much he did for us. He always put others first, after you. May we do the same. With us, Lord, in the future, whatever it holds. Help us to do what we can to be a light in darkness, telling everyone about the wonderful hope, the hope that we have, the reality that will come, when man and his madness will be removed in the sense that he operates things, when the world will be restored. Fullness to reflect your glory. With all those who suffer in different ways, indeed all of us do, we pray that we may have your help and guidance at all times. Be with us, Lord, and help us to do what we can for each other, knowing that we can always pray. So we pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done. And then we know all these other things that we long for, that you have promised to give to us. Give us to our sins, Lord, in Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Jesus, with the feeding and the bread and everything.
Mm.
They must be really hungry. He gives them enough, and there's still leftovers. And they're like the whole place full of leftovers.
Thank you, John. The picture is that she has, at least to say, been moved.